2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're reading from verse 9 through to the end of the chapter. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Someone said to me a few weeks ago that it is a pity that Paul did not write some more to Timothy, and that we could have a chapter 5 of 2 Timothy and a chapter 6 and chapter 7. I hope that's an indication that they're enjoying this series in 2 Timothy and don't want it to end. The Holy Spirit, of course, thought otherwise and gave us exactly what we have before us. And I have enough trouble trying to apply these four chapters to my life rather than adding any more to it. In this last section, we have divided it up into three, as you now know. We have looked at personalities, necessities, and victories. In our last two studies together, we have been looking at the personalities. We looked the first week just at Demas, who had forsaken Paul. Last time, we looked at four personalities. We saw Demas started good, but finished bad, verse 10. We saw that Dr. Luke started good, but also finished good. And that's good. We saw then that Alexander started bad, but finished bad, verse 14. And we saw that Mark started bad, but finished good, verse 11. And of course, we could this morning continue to look at some of these personalities. We could look at Priscilla and Aquila in verse 19, a married couple well known in the New Testament. You read about them in Acts 18. You read about them in Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 16. They were tent makers like Paul. They had an affinity, a common bond, and they were fellow workers with Paul. And it's great to see them working together for the gospel. We could spend time there. Or we could spend time looking at Trophimus in verse number 20, who Paul left sick at Miletum. I find that interesting because Paul had the power, the apostolic power to heal. And yet, there were at times it seems that he couldn't use his power. We find that he couldn't use it to cure his own thorn in the flesh that we read about in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, if that was physical. I'm not sure that it was. But he couldn't use it to cure Timothy's weak stomach that we learned about in 1 Timothy 5 and 23. He couldn't use it to cure Epaphroditus, who came to Paul from Philippi and was nigh unto death. He wasn't able to use his healing powers. And here Trophimus was left sick at Miletus. And so we discover that even though the apostles had this gift of healing, part of their apostolic power, it was never God's intention that all sickness would be cured. Indeed, he often requires us to go through the deepest of valleys to learn to trust in him and depend on him as never before. And sometimes he takes us to that spot where all we have is God, and all we can depend on is God, and we find that mercy in the wilderness. And I know some of you have been there. But this morning, my conviction is to move from the personalities to look at the necessities. In verse 13, Paul is in the final stretch of life. He's almost at the finishing line. And that has a way of changing our priorities. Whenever we're dying, it has a way of changing what's really valuable and what's really important. And we want to ask this morning, what to the Apostle Paul was essential? What to Paul was the bare necessities of life? I want you to see a few things that I find interesting in these verses. First of all, there was a physical need. He says in verse 13, bring the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. Bring it with you when you come. There was a physical need that needed met. The dungeon of Rome was cold and damp. The winter was fast approaching. We read that in verse number 21, do thy diligence to come before winter. And so there was a practical need. And so Paul says, bring the cloak. I need it to keep me warm. It's now a necessity. Isn't that lovely? A lovely, practical, caring touch from the hand of Paul. I believe God is reminding us that our physical needs are important to him. You see, often as believers, we dismiss the physical as being unspiritual and being carnal and temporary. And in a sense, it is all those things. But we learn in 2 Timothy 4 and 13 that the physical is important to God. When you come, bring the cloak because I have a physical need. And the Lord records it. Dear friend, this morning, maybe you're in church or listening and you're tired and weary. And you have a physical need. I want you to know that it's important to God. Maybe you're exhausted with exam time and trying to put in those midnight hours revising and your mum saying, go to bed. No, I can't. I have to revise. I have to do this subject. I'm going to face it tomorrow. And you're exhausted. It matters to God. Maybe you're in pain and the painkillers don't seem to be having any impact anymore. God cares about it. And we could go through a long list, couldn't we? Loneliness. That plague of loneliness, and you think that people are just superficial and don't really care. Stress, family pressure, depression, illness, you're struggling and Satan whispers into your ear, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I want you to know this morning that to God there is no insignificant needs. He cares about the physical. He cares about the practical. He cares about those needs that seem so very real, but seem to not to be so spiritual. But we sang this morning, didn't we? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He cares about the physical. Bring the cloak. says Paul. But not only a physical need, will you notice, please, the mental need? He says not only bring the cloak, but also the books. Bring the books. There was a mental need. Are books a necessity? I think so. I keep telling my wife I need a bigger room for my study, and she just laughs at me. She thinks it's too big as it is. But all the need for books. I love books. And whenever my wife goes in shopping and I'm forced to go with her, I use that advisedly, but that's the word that you have to use. I'm forced to go. I slip into Waterstones or somewhere to look at the books. Love the book. And the dungeon gave Paul no stimulus for his brilliant, articulate mind. The day for Paul was long and tedious, and he says, make sure you bring the books. I need to exercise my mind. There is a mental need. You know, mental illness is still the Cinderella of the health service. It carries still with it a stigma, a discrimination, and a prejudice. And yet, mental health, mental ill health affects some 25% of the population at some stage. One in four will have an incident of mental illness along life's journey. And yet there is an embarrassment with it. There is a feeling of being ashamed. And you say, I shouldn't be like this because I'm a Christian and I should be above it and I should be able to cope. But here in 2 Timothy 4, we discover that God has an interest to meet the physical needs, but he also has an interest in meeting the mental needs. Those times when you can't cope. Those times when you wonder, is there another way out? Young people wondering if there's a suicide option. And these things are very real for many, many people. And maybe you're sitting in church saying, that doesn't apply. Oh, it does, I'm afraid. It does. One in four go through those dark days. And I want you to know that just as God has an interest in your physical needs, bring the cloak. He also has a need in the mental state of your health. Bring the books. Bring the books. Get your mind exercised. Get it lifted. And we discover that mental illness is important to God. I don't know if these were his study books that he had when he studied under Gamaliel, that great first century Jewish rabbi who was the leader of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, a brilliant mind of a man. And it was that as they teach in Israel, they sit down teaching and the students sat around their feet. And the books that were used in that college course, maybe that's the books he wanted. Maybe it was books that Paul had been inspired by. Books that had challenged him and encouraged him in those difficult times of life. I don't know. I do know this. Paul is a spiritual giant, yet he wants his books. Paul has been preaching at this stage for around 30 years, yet he wants his books. Paul had seen the Lord and had been caught up in some way to the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12 and 2, and yet still he wants his books. Paul had written a major part of our New Testament, yet he still wanted his books. It's often been said that readers are leaders. I believe that. I believe that those who want to lead need to have a mind exercised. And we do that by learning and reading and learning. Reading other people's views and opinions and
even people you disagree with, and you get it into your mind and you learn what you believe through examining and questioning. Paul, in his last days, learns that the bare necessities of life are not only looking after his physical needs, bring the cloak, but also the importance of keeping his mind exercised and active. There was a need to look after the mental health. And there are books today for every level of reading ability. There are books that you could read in an evening without any difficulty. There are books that are devotional. There's books that are historical. There's books that are doctrinal. There are books that are inspirational. I say, isn't this very practical this morning? That, like Paul, you have physical needs and God knows about them and can meet them. There's also, like Paul, you have mental needs. God can meet them. How about there's emotional needs? Look again. Verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Verse number 11, only Luke is with me, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So the bare necessities of life, there was the physical need, bring a cloak. There is the mental need, bring the books. There is emotional needs, bring yourself. Come and join me. He wanted Christian company and fellowship. He needed the encouragement of others. He wanted the support of Christian friends. Paul was used to the ball being on the other foot, and he was encouraging others and being there for others and supporting others. And now he was in need of that encouragement and that support. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that God has not made us to be isolationists, to be remote or insular. No. When God saved you, not only did he indwell you with his Spirit, but he gave you a new spiritual family. And the more we love and care and support each other in the family, the more we show our love for God. And that's why we have a membership. Because it enables people who come to show that they want to be of support to this wee family. And they want to be behind it. And they want to support it. And they want to encourage it. And they do that by coming into membership. By staying out of membership, you're saying, well, I want to come and enjoy the meetings, but I don't want to be involved in the family. Thank you very much. No. No, thank you. I just want to enjoy the preaching and the singing. I want to enjoy the children's talks. But really, I don't want to be of help to the family. The way of showing support for the family, to meet the emotional needs of the family, is to be in membership, which is biblical, isn't it? And as I say, the more you love and care and support each other in the family, the more we show our love for God. In fact, John, when he was writing in 1 John 4 and 20, he says, if a man say I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Did he write that? We wouldn't like to use that kind of language now. It seems a wee bit severe. Says John, if you don't show love for your brother, yet claim to love God, then you're a liar. Wow. The writer to the Hebrews put it like this in chapter 10. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, but exhorting, encouraging each other. Don't neglect the meetings. Be an encourager. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy 4. He's saying, not only have I a physical need, bring the cloak. Not only have I a mental need, bring the books. I need my mind exercised. I need my mind engaged.
But there's also an emotional need. Bring yourself. I need Christians. I need believers around me. I need it in this. This is the bare necessities of life. I need people to care for me. What Paul needed in the prison was not a critic to tell him what was wrong with all the local churches that he had planted. That was no use to Paul. What Paul needed was not a discontent who would list where everybody was going wrong and negative. No. Paul didn't need that. What he needed was an encourager. What he needed was a supporter. What he needed was a carer. These people are in short supply. Short supply. Very, very few of them about. Beloved, we need each other. We are part of the same body, and we need to be working with each other. But there is something else that I want you to see in our text this morning. The bare necessities of life for Paul. The necessity of the physical need, bring the cloak. The necessity of the mental need, bring the books. The necessity of the emotional need, bring yourself. But there's a spiritual need. Notice verse 13. But especially the parchments. We were having a discussion the other day what the parchments were. Was it material to write with? He had a scribe writing for him in the prison. I don't think necessarily he needed more parchment to write on. Were the parchments his Old Testament theology books? I believe that the parchments were the scrolls of the Old Testament scriptures. Paul in his dungeon wanted to spend what little time he had left feeding his soul with the things of God. He wanted to spend his last days maintaining his faith and growing in grace and increasing his knowledge of God. And so he says, make sure you bring the parchments. Make sure you bring the Old Testament scriptures. I need to feed my soul. There's a spiritual need. And I was sitting in the study thinking, whenever Timothy arrived with the parchments, where did Paul turn to in the parchments? I wonder where. I think maybe Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That would be good. And then as I thought about it, I thought, no, maybe it was Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people. Maybe that's what Paul turned to get comfort. Or maybe turn to Job. Find chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Is that where he turned to? Oh, the spiritual comfort. Oh, the spiritual food to feed his soul. The spiritual need. You know, on this day, the 12th of June, 119 years ago, 1897, this day, 119 years ago, Carl Elsener patented what has become known as the Swiss Army knife. He wanted to give soldiers an all-in-one tool that would cover every eventuality. And so on these Army Swiss knives, you'll have a can opener and a screwdriver and scissors and a fish scaler and a nail file and a wire cutter and all kinds of things. Covering of every eventuality. This is a multi-purpose tool for the child of God. Paul understood that. Make sure you bring the parchments. It's a multi-purpose tool. It'll meet every need. And we have it.
sadness, worry, stress, pressure, guidance. It's all there. Multi-purpose.
What are your needs this morning?
What are the bare necessities of life for you? Maybe it's physical.
God knows. He'll bring the cloak to meet your physical need.
What's the need for you? Maybe it's mental. And you'd be embarrassed to say to me or somebody around you of the thoughts, those deep, dark thoughts that you've had, and you wouldn't want to mention, and you're hoping that you're out the other side. God knows. God knows. Paul was there. He says, make sure you bring the books. I need to have my mind lifted. I need my mind fed. I can't cope with the long periods of loneliness and solitude in a prison cell. I can't cope with that. Bring the books. Maybe your need is emotional. And there is in Valley Baptist a spiritual family that you can benefit from. There is people you can talk to. There is people who will pray with you. There is people who will be there for you. And the spiritual need. Bring the parchments. Bring the Word of God to feed my soul and to make me focus on the God of my salvation. That's what Paul did. God cares. And He can meet the deepest need of our heart. Let me ask you this. Maybe you're sitting in Valley Baptist this morning and you're not saved. You're not a Christian. I want to tell you, if that's the case, your need primarily is not physical. It's not. Your need primarily is not mental. In fact, your need primarily is not emotional. If you're not a Christian, your need primarily is spiritual. You need the Savior. You need this morning to turn away from sin and trust the one who died for you on the cross, who took your place. That is your number one priority. And if you're not a Christian, I want to help you to do that. I want to sit with you and open the Word of God and point you to the one who can save your soul. And once we do that, then we can look after the physical and the mental and the emotional. Isn't it good that we have a God who cares? That's good. Because so often people don't care. But we have a God who does. And we see that in this verse as we look at the bare necessities of life. May God bless His word.